Don't miss a minute of Ruined Dits for breakfast on the Catch Up podcast. For Adelaide Tools, with 5 locations, Paraka, Lonsdale, St Mary's, Gawler and Mile End. Or go online at adelaidetools.com.au.
Oh, g'day, Roo. The week is flying by. It's Thursday morning already.
Yeah, no Thursday night footy, so we don't have to... which is good this week.
I feel a bit empty, though. I wanted to watch a game tonight. I'm enjoying it.
You've got all weekend. You'll have 9 games in 3 days, so you'll be able to watch 5 games on Saturday or something.
Right,
this week.
I'll get my fill.
Yeah.
Another big day coming up. Hey, Roo, I was shocked last night, stunned, the story about Michelle Payne. But now, all of a sudden this morning, I feel a bit sorry for her, having read the article. Now, I am an anti-drug campaigner to the nth degree, don't get me wrong, and I'm all for banning people that take any sort of performance-enhancing drug. But, gee, I feel for jockeys, though. She's taken a dietary tablet that suppresses your appetite.
Yep.
Gee, is she really such a bad person?
I guess it depends on whether you're allowed to take it or not.
Well, they're not. So it is banned, and so I get that. So she's done the wrong thing and clearly
and
would have known.
And you know full well that every athlete gets lectured about what you put in your mouth is your responsibility.
Yeah. But
you can't say that.
But drug cheat, and I thought, oh, God, don't tell me she's done the wrong thing. And then when I read it's an appetite suppressant, I feel for jockeys. I think they get a tough lot. I really do.
That's not eating. We'd both struggle
like
to
tucker.
Be a jockey, wouldn't we? It is a tough life. They live off
I wanted
fresh
to be a jockey,
air.
Roo, but they just said no.
Yeah, you're about 40 kilos too heavy.
That's right.
45, maybe 50 dicks. Yeah. Maybe more than that.
More than that. I'd say a good 100 kilos.
You're still top weight in the Melbourne Cup with 50 off.
I weigh more than the horse.
You'd have to cut yourself in half.
That's right. No, but I feel for this. We're going to find out, though, what she's done wrong.
Yeah,
is it such a bad thing?
Yeah, the Melbourne Cup winning superstar. Do they make a movie about her, or are they going to make a movie about
her? I think they are. Yeah, is it Rachel Griffiths that's involved, I think? Yeah.
Get it out there.
That's right. Well, here's another chapter. Here's another chapter in the movie.
Ooh.
Another episode.
Sad ending.
Yeah, that's right. And then we can have Warnie giving her advice about, I got done on dietary tablets.
Just blame your mum.
Yeah, blame your mum. So, this story's got legs yet.
Yeah,
don't worry.
It's got legs. Mick Molloy's back today. We're looking forward to a bit of Mick later on. Gleeso's got another suburban song.
We're going to Maslin's Beach today. Just imagine. And Roo, you're going to be pregnant.
Be stiff not to be good, that one.
Be stiff,
it?
Yeah, very good. Yeah. By the end of the show, you're going to be pregnant, Roo.
Oh,
and
beautiful.
Give birth, all right?
I want to find out how hard it's really going to be.
The quickest gestation period of any baby ever delivered.
So I'm allowed to swear, poo myself.
Scream, yell
for hot towels.
Do anything.
Get me a coffee.
Yeah, that's it.
That's normal anyway, I think, Mel, isn't it?
It's Ruined Dits for Breakfast here, thanks to Adelaide Tools.
Ruined Dits for Breakfast. 104.7 Triple M.
Ruined Dits for Breakfast on Triple M, thanks to Adelaide Tools. What is making news? Hey, by the way, that'll shock you. That was a Barnsley song here on Triple M. And I only mention that because, of course, yesterday, Young Ryan.
It was the repeat workday, wasn't it? Yeah, we repeated one at 7:10 and 8:40, and Young Ryan won $10,000.
Now, Rui came in yesterday, as I would. He came in at about 1 minute past 9 to pick up his check. Yeah, and what a great lad. Him and his mum.
Yeah.
Absolute rippers. And you know, he teared up, didn't he? It was a beautiful story. He lost his dad last year, 12 months to the day, the anniversary.
See, I believe in things like that. I reckon his old man up there sent a little message. He's taken over his dad's business and doing the deferred uni. It's a good story. Well done.
Yeah.
Well, good plucking there, Alice.
And good business too. I'm going to give him a plug. Look, I've forgotten the name of the business, but they send out the big ice fans. Cool rooms. So if you've got a big event, they send out the cool rooms and you can fill it up with your grog and your food and whatever. So what are you laughing at?
Ice fans. Is that what they call?
What's wrong with that?
Cool rooms they're called, aren't they? Don't get snaky. Don't get
I'm trying to give a lad a plug. Oh, talk amongst yourselves over there. Go on.
No,
stick
come
it up
on.
Your bum.
Come on. Come on, no, this is a good little business. And you always need a nice fan, don't you?
Dits you do. And a cool room.
I'm getting tired on Thursday, all right? So just bear with me, all right?
But no, you're pregnant.
I'm pregnant.
You're in a funny mood.
Am I allowed to just blame everything on baby brain?
All morning you can be stupid, all right? Because you're about to give birth.
No, that's good little fella, Ryan. And $10,000 And if you ever need an ice fan, just give him a buzz. We'll find out his business name later on. And because you do, and mobile parties and things.
It sounds like
that.
It's going well. And like big events. I thought he meant if you're having a 21st in the backyard or whatever, but he's done Clipsal and
festivals.
All of those. Yep. All the Fringe. So, good little business. But what a nice lad. And his mum was delightful. So, well done.
Yeah, well done. Good on you, mate.
Yeah, anyway, making news around the place. Another plane crash, Roo, yesterday. This is frightening, isn't it? We're hearing about these all too often.
Far too often.
Let's cross now. This is just outside Mount Gambier. Channel 7's Andrea Nicholas is there. Andrea, good morning.
Oh, morning, guys. How are you going?
Good. What do we know? What happened yesterday, Andrea?
Well, what we know is that the plane, a single-engine plane, came down in treacherous conditions at Sutton Town, just 3 kilometres from the Mount Gambier Airport. And it's crash-landed into a paddock here, and sadly, the 3 people on board have died on impact.
Right.
The pilot was 78-year-old Grant Gilbert, a prominent businessman from Mount Barker, and he was conducting an angel flight, which he regularly volunteered for, and those are the flights that take people in need of medical treatment from regional areas to city centres. So
how
in this
sad.
Case, it was very sad, and in this case, it was flying from Mount Gambier to Adelaide.
When you say treacherous conditions, are they saying that's what is to blame? And can you explain the treacherous conditions?
Sure. It was extremely foggy here yesterday, to the point where at least 2 aircraft had refused to land at the Mount Gambier Airport shortly before Mr. Gilbert took off.
Mm.
So that sort of gives you an indication of just how bad the conditions were. In terms of a cause for the crash, we're waiting for experts from the Australian Transport Safety Bureau to arrive on scene this morning. They've come over from Canberra, and they'll be looking through the evidence to pinpoint the exact cause, but industry experts say that had to play a part.
Andrew, I'm not sure if you'd know the answer to it, but who has the last decision on whether it's safe to take off or not?
Yeah, I'm not sure on that, whether the pilot can be told they can't take off, or whether they make the final call. Obviously, in this circumstance, he was able to fly. We're told by locals here that it was actually quite clear a couple of hours earlier. So the fog had set in a little later in the morning. So I guess it's possible that he'd made his assessment earlier based on the clearer conditions. And then once he got up, it was quite foggy. But I'm not sure who would rule in terms of whether or not that flight's allowed to take off. But we know that the other pilots of a couple of other aircraft had decided not to land because of those conditions.
All right. Good on you, Andrea. Thanks for joining us. And I hope you're well, Andrea. I haven't seen you for a while. How you been?
I know. I've been all right. Just very busy. But,
good
yeah.
on you. All right. Well, thanks for joining us.
Thanks very much.
Good. Bye. I worked with Andrea for a long time at Channel 7. Lovely girl. Mm-hmm. Beautiful girl.
Yep.
Roo, that sounds a little bit dicey, doesn't it? That someone's made a decision, perhaps, we are speculating here, perhaps to go up when, if 2 other planes have decided not to fly. That does sound a little bit dodgy, doesn't it? Maybe pilot error.
Hopefully it'll get sorted out.
Yeah, hopefully it will. Hey, Roo, what are these dodgy bloody tickets sites that we've heard too much about? What are they called? Because all of a sudden they're involved now in scamming the Paul McCartney concert before it's even got off the ground.
Apparently you go onto a website and you buy tickets, okay? And you don't know, you might pay $200 for a ticket, so going to the Crows game. You're going to the Port game on Saturday night, and let's just assume it was close to a sellout, and you want to buy tickets, and you might pay $200 for a ticket, but you actually don't know how good your ticket is, and you actually don't even know, this will sound stupid, whether you actually even get tickets.
Mm.
It happened to Steve Price on the from the project, and he paid something like $200 a ticket. And just absolutely garbage tickets. And he still didn't even know at the end whether he was getting tickets.
So what we're hearing, and we're just doing this as a warning this morning, tickets worth about $400 are being sold for $6,000 for the Paul McCartney concert.
Yeah, that's right. So
outrageous. So just beware of these sites because that is not good.
Yeah, what's it called? I'll get back to you on the name of the site. It's terrible stuff. People are getting ripped off. You'd think this would have to be illegal, wouldn't you?
Vivago. That's the wag telling me. So beware of that, all right?
V-I-A-G-O-G-O.
Righto.
That's it. Power prices in Adelaide, going to be the highest in the world.
In the world?
Congratulations.
Oh, that's a feather in our cap.
Well done. Hey,
you've got to be proud of that.
Well done. That's really good. We've been working towards this for years now, and we finally got there.
Just an aside to this, Roo, before we move on, you know, I've said over the last week or two, this levy on the banks, I might be the only person in South Australia, along with Tom Coutts and Tonis, that's for it. Now, everything I read tells me I'm wrong. Everyone says it'll cost jobs and, you know, the ongoing effects won't be good. But I keep saying this. How much is enough? Now, our banks, if an individual bank makes $8 billion this year, is that not enough? And I'm as capitalistic as the next person. I really am. But I think enough's enough in profiteering. If I put it to you that what if I said our power companies were making $8 billion a year and we said, bugger that, we're going to enforce levies on them. Everyone would be for it, I'm sure. No one would complain, would they? So why is it different with our banks?
Oh, it's a bit too simplistic, I think, to say that.
Why?
Well, what if they paid $100 billion for it?
What do you mean?
What if the bank's worth $200 billion and they only make $8 billion and they make 4% of what they're worth? Is that bamboozling you? Or?
Yeah, a little.
All right, what if you paid, if they paid $10 billion for the bank and they make $8 billion, you'd say they're making way too much money.
Yeah.
If it's worth $200 billion and they're making $8
billion. But well, they haven't paid $200 billion in the first place to buy the bank.
Yeah, but they're big. They're our biggest companies. I'm not sticking up for them, but they're not little companies.
All right.
You know,
I reckon their profits are quite okay.
Oh, they are big, but you can't. I don't agree. You can go and just go taxing people extra money. I don't know. Yeah, I'm anti it. Absolutely anti. If you're going to do it federally and share it around. But why? I don't understand why we think we can just go and put a tax on banks in South Australia.
Hmm. All right. Fair enough.
Yeah, I'm not sure.
But if we did it to the power companies, would you be happy? If we reined them back in and made it fairer with our power bills, would you be happy with that?
I don't think it's a power company issue at the moment while our power's gone up. It's our lack
of... That's who's charging us.
No, we haven't got any baseload power.
Yeah, but I'm getting charged by the power company.
Yeah, but yeah, they're just passing it on.
That's who sends me my bill.
Yeah, we'll have an argument over this. I don't think it'll be great listening if we keep going with it.
No, I'm just trying to find out more.
We haven't got any baseload power, did
you? No, I know. I understand.
That's why the power's through the roof.
Mm. All right.
That's why I think it is anyway. I might be wrong on that.
Bloody testy pregnant wife here this morning. Gee whiz. 6:19.
Well, we could argue for 20 minutes at it and we'll probably have everyone on another channel.
Yeah. Sorry, I didn't mean, I'm not trying to argue. I'm just throwing questions out there that maybe someone can answer those queries.
Yep.
Anyway.
All right. We'll get a bank expert
okay,
to tell
darling.
Us about
right
that.
On. Ruined Tits for Breakfast on 104.7 Triple M. Ruined Tits for Breakfast here, 8:48 it is. Hey, Roo, you and I must have gone close, I reckon. I see it was announced the other day, Mick Malloy's doing a new afternoon program with someone, I don't know, Jane Kennedy. I thought, did we run second or what was it?
No, Mick and Ruined Tits. I think we're in the conversation.
Talking national afternoon program
here. Yep, and I think he's looking forward to a sleep in. Let's get him on, Mick Malloy.
Oh, you can read me like a book.
Oh, God.
6 years of breakfast is enough. I plan to get up at 4 to 6 and still be late to work.
Nah, congratulations, Mick. And I want to say quite seriously, I mean this, because we always, whenever we talk to you, we have a lot of fun. But the program you did with Tony Martin years ago, and I think it was back in the late 90s, is still, to me, the funniest radio I've ever. I thought it was the best show on radio, and I'm so pumped that you're back on Drive. I will be glued to it, and I mean that. I love your show.
I appreciate you saying that. In fact, it's funny because that show, Martin Malloy, was pretty much, did create the Drive Time comedy genre, which now, like Hamish and Andy and many other shows, if you look around the FM dial on any station now, up until then, they were doing nothing. They were pretty much running 40-minute music marathons on the way home from work. And I remember going into our boss's office at the time, and I said, listen, mate, if they're driving to work, they have to drive home from work.
Yep.
So why don't we throw the same type of stuff on in the afternoon?
Genius, Mick. Genius.
It seems so simple now, doesn't it?
Unless they get on the booze all day and leave their car there.
And that's it. And so that was the pitch for our show, and then it did. We were on at one stage, I think we were on 54 stations around Australia, and I did like it.
54.
So it feels like right. I remember one day sitting at I was on a cattle station in the Kimberley. It was a Sunday, and I was down at the workers' station, and they said, oh, get around, have a listen to these two. I went down there to have a beer with these blokes, and said, have a listen to these two. And they listened to our best of. Sat there the whole time listening to this while I was with them. And it gave me great joy to know that awesome. People all around the country. They're not all driving in cars or all in the big city, but riding they can be horses. Anywhere in this great big brown land of ours and enjoy that show. Well, then I had the hard trouble of trying to convince them it was me. I'm going, that's me.
Shut up, mate. Not everyone from the city has their own radio show, you dickhead.
Rue and I can relate to it. Rue and I currently are being heard on 54 transistors around Adelaide. So,
it's good. So, anyway, boys, thank you very much. And it will be a good show.
Look forward to it next year.
And look forward to being at the other end of the dial. We'll now, be like bookends.
You'll be able to wake up with your kids, mate.
Well, that's right. Well, I'll wake them. They'll be still in the car, of course, parked out the front. But I'll get them out. Come on, fellas.
Now, just want to refresh your memory here on something, Mick. Have a listen to this.
What if I'd said just try and beat one of the Adelaide teams at some stage this year?
Sold.
Oh. Sold.
Okay, if I win that bet, I get to take you down the Ramsgate and sort you out.
Or if the Crows and Port happen to beat the Tigers,
yes,
I reckon you need to do a gig for nothing in Adelaide.
Mm.
Okay, I'll do a gig for nothing in Adelaide.
There you go, Mick. Now, this weekend, the second part of this two-part bet, Port Adelaide-Richmond.
Do you know what? Ordinarily, I wouldn't be confident, except we've had great joy at that ground.
You're really good for about a quarter against Adelaide.
Do you know what? This is what's going to annoy me. Yes, I accept your terms, and I agree that that's the bet, and I will do a gig, should we lose, at your hotel in town. I'll do some terrible gear, though. I'll clear the joint. It'll all be on you. I'll do 35 minutes on you, Roo.
I look forward to that.
But all of a sudden, here's my feeling. I never thought this is the worst sentence I'll ever utter. This could be an all Adelaide grand final.
It's so hard to work out.
Adelaide are perched up the top. Everyone goes, oh, it's a really close season. There's a team at the top on 10-3. You know what I mean? So
don't worry about them.
Let's park that for a minute. And then you've got Port, who are quite capable at the moment and an unknown quantity.
Quite capable? Could you be more patronising, please? Quite capable?
They're quite capable. Look, they're poorly coached and they're fans of nuffies.
They're fans of nuffies.
And beyond that, they're half a chance.
But, so Mick, you could also have a Richmond-Melbourne grand final. Imagine that.
Wouldn't that be good? Although I don't want to come up against Hardman Oliver.
You could knock him out, Mick.
I could blow him over. Through all the hoo-ha with Basher Hooley, he's distracted from someone who has brought disrepute into the game, and that is the staging of Oliver that started it all in blue. His mates have seen him lying on the ground and come in and remonstrated. In the week that Daniel Day-Lewis retires from acting, Oliver steps up to the plate and said, I'm the next in line.
I heard there were South American soccer players around the world saying, hey, hang on.
That's our job.
What are we going to do?
The
other thing before you go, Mick, Andrew German dropped a bombshell on Adelaide Radio yesterday afternoon. He said that Adelaide are moving heaven and earth to get Dustin Martin to Adelaide.
Guy's an idiot. Didn't he say Alistair Clarkson was going to coach Adelaide?
He might have said that.
But he gets a few right, I'll tell you what.
He is a joke. I believe I'll be, you know what, I'm going to get on his show and give him a bake.
Ring him this afternoon, tell him he's losing his marbles.
I will, mate. And by the way, can I get in a quick plug for the front bar tonight?
Please do.
Of course you can, head to head with the footy show.
It's not a war, but we'll win it.
Yeah.
It's 8:30, we do go head to head for the very first time, and I hate to say it, mate, but you get a mention tonight, Roo. It may have been part of something you said in the commentary last week. I can't recall.
I think I know what it was.
I look forward to it. So who's on the front bar tonight?
On the front bar is Chris Judd, of course, is coming in. Santo Chilaro, who is who's going to come in, a mad Collingwood fan. He's going to bring in a few old clips. Fitzy, Adelaide's own. Fitzy, Ryan Fitzgerald will be manning the bar. So we've pulled out all stops. And, of course, we will put some of the commentary work of Mark Rashid.
Beautiful. Hey, isn't Chris Judd performing on Triple M? I'm enjoying his work.
He's great, mate. He's brilliant. He's found a whole new lease of life post-football. He's genuinely...
He's got a personality.
Quite amusing.
And a brain.
Yes.
And a brain. And a brain.
Sam Payne, I can't tell. He's obviously... I don't know, got it in for you or something, Roo.
No, I know what I said now, and as soon as I said it, I went on, no.
Well, Mick, from the, what do you call us, the quietly adequate and partially competent football club over here, good luck on the weekend.
Draw a little side bet, Dits.
Yeah, let's, all right, game of squash or something.
A game of squash.
What about a pizza? Let's put a pizza.
Right, we'll have a pizza on it with the lot.
All right, done.
Right.
Lock it in.
I can't lose you, blokes.
All right, guys.
See you, Mick.
Thanks for having
See
us.
See you, Mickey.
Ruined Dits for breakfast. 104.7 Triple M.
104.7 Adelaide's Triple M. Roo, the news came through last night, and I was absolutely shocked. You read a headline like this, Michelle Payne drug ban.
Yeah, not good. Not sure if it was deliberate or accidental at the moment, so we'll find out in days to come.
It turns out that she's taken some sort of drug that's an appetite suppressant. And I want to get to the bottom of this because I said to you earlier this morning, I am anti-drug. I'll campaign against any drugs in sport. No worries about that. But, gee, I reckon jockeys have got a tough lot. And if it's about suppressing their appetite, I probably am a little sympathetic. But let's find out more. Let's find out if she really has done the wrong thing. Des O'Keefe is the chairman of the Australian Jockey Association. He joins us now. Des, good morning.
Good morning, Chris.
Now, we know that this is banned. So I guess on the surface, she's definitely done the wrong thing. But is it really that bad?
Look, on the scale of disasters, it's a mini disaster. It's a substance which is an appetite suppressant. It was prescribed to her in good faith by her GP. Where the issue is that the onus sits fairly and squarely on Michelle, which she completely acknowledges, to make her GP aware of what she can and can't take.
Yep.
This phentermine is actually on the banned list. It's clearly there. She should have advised her GP. She failed to do that, and that's where she's going to get a bit of a whack today.
Sounds like a very silly thing to do. If it's on the ban list, you know she's not allowed to take it. It was prescribed by a doctor. Immediately when that happens, it'll be going through her head saying, I shouldn't be doing this, I shouldn't be doing this, wouldn't it?
Yeah, look, I think and she's done it. That's what she'll say today, that it was she wasn't thorough enough. She just needed to say to her, remind her GP that, you know, I'm subject to being tested. Can you check whether this is going to be okay to take? Now, it isn't, but is it a massive big deal? Is it going to tarnish her image as a absolute icon of our sport? No, it's not.
No.
It's just a deal with it today and move on. The standard fare for it seems to be around a month, give or take the circumstances.
Des, rules are rules. There's no worries about that. But why aren't jockeys allowed to take these types of drugs? I would have thought they need all the help they can get in this sort of area.
They do, but Chris, it's if it has a stimulant effect, then that's not ideal. These rules about substances are there for safety reasons. As we know, it's an incredibly dangerous job they do.
Yep.
And I'm very much along the lines, as is Michelle. She understands that she's messed this up. And the rule is there. It's pretty clear. There's a reason why it's there. And, you know, she's messed this up, but we'll just hopefully deal with it today with Racing Victoria stewards and move on.
All right. Well, if she doesn't need those appetite suppressants, just send them over for me and Dits if you can, and we'll finish off the packet for her.
Yeah, I don't think many jockeys look like they need an appetite suppressant.
We do. Yeah, good on you, Des. Thanks for the explanation.
Thank you, Chris.
Good on you, Des.
Des O'Keefe, Chairman of the Australian Jockey Association. Look, she won our hearts a couple of years ago, and hopefully this won't tarnish her image. It seems like a little mistake to me.
Yeah, like you said, Ditch, you can understand why they do it. It's just a bit of a silly mistake, this one.
Yeah. There you go, Michelle Payne.
Triple M.
I'm starting to get contractions, Dits.
Oh, it's happening.
It's coming.
If you've missed this, Roo,
my waters have broken.
We're doing a test with Roo, a pregnancy sort of test later on this morning, where he's going to be subjected to the same labour pains that apparently a woman goes through. So I'm dealing with a pregnant wife here today.
It's hurting.
Oh, God.
Feels like something's inside me.
Oh, no. Let's move on for the moment. Because pregnant women have to carry on at their job, Roo. They can't, you know, you can't just, I'm pregnant, I'm not going to work today. You've got to keep ploughing on.
Not my, mine just sits down and does nothing.
Oh, come on,
she does.
Oh, Sarah.
Come on.
Looking
She's
after
asleep.
Six children. Hey, Roo, yesterday on the number one sports show in Adelaide, the Rush Hour, interesting take on Australian football, AFL.
Yeah, ESPN covered the Essendon-Sydney ending, the clash last, was it Saturday night?
Yep.
When it was a kick just before the siren to decide the game. They had no idea what was going on, and then they were talking about the after match when obviously all the players go in and sing the song. Have a listen to this.
Sydney has won 86-85. That sets up some dudes in some really short singing songs.
Think they were drinking after this one?
Maybe during.
What just happened?
There's some kicking and some catching,
right?
And the goals are worth six. And what I think really the problem was Essendon, when the ball got knocked out of bounds, see, the official, the referee, they zing it back in over their heads. And then once Sydney got it back, then they got to kick it down there. When the guy catches it, that sets up the uncontested kick.
Referees very active in Aussie rules football.
Yeah. But and then the singing.
That's how I'm going to call the game this weekend.
That was a cross between.
And that referee just zings the ball back into play.
So that was a cross between Rhett Biglands and Warren Treadrow there. Just trying to work out the boat. But very funny. But it was actually on AFL 360 as well last night. They showed it. And Jared thinks there's not a lot of sports that actually sing a song together after a game. And when they played it, they said there were lots of tall blokes and small shirts.
Well, it might be unique to our game. Maybe it is unique to our game. I'm trying to think. Like, soccer teams don't do it, I don't think, around the world.
I don't know. I don't watch a lot of international sport, but when you think about it, it is probably a little bit funny, isn't it?
Do you know, on weekends, if we cut out of our coverage and go to an advert and don't play the song, the complaints are unbelievable.
Oh, yeah, they love it.
Like, I couldn't care less whether we hear it or not, but the complaints we get.
On TV, if they don't show the song and they go to the news or something. Yeah. Oh, geez. Yeah.
Let's not just happy. Zing that ball back at a
zing it in over the head.
All right. I'm rocking the
suburbs. Triple M Suburban Songs.
White Chiefs keep on rolling. Burn song.
With Dave Gleason from the Screaming Jets. Suburban Taxis. Rocking whatever suburb you need to get to. 131-008.
Oh, the numbers continue to go through the roof. These are breaking records everywhere. Gleeso, welcome.
Oh, he's an internet sensation,
oh,
isn't he?
Oh, gee whiz.
Yeah. Oh,
it's unreal. I feel like Justin Bieber. One of them.
It's a bit of feedback last week, Gleeso. Obviously, we rocked North Adelaide.
Oh, yes.
But we had a bit of feedback. Rear Admiral Johnson called in. We had Chief Surgeon from the Memorial Hospital.
We had retired
QC Quentin Sullivan, also displeased at the tone of the song about North Adelaide. But apart from them, you know, everything was great.
Because I saw, actually, Mike ran over in, is he over in London or something at the moment? Mark?
He went to Italy
Italy, right, yeah, because I saw him on
an attaché.
Junket.
A junket. On a bit of a grab and
is what it's called.
I just love that thing to suggest that, anyway, just that bit in the middle, it cracks me up every time.
Right, who are we getting into today?
We're going to get into to Maslin's Beach today.
Oh, please.
Right. There's nothing to have a go at Maslin's around.
I feel an outdoor gig coming. I wish you'd go down there one day and actually play
are
the
you
song
still a member there, Dits, or not?
Life.
The Frank and Beans show.
Frank and Beans.
Yeah, but there's so many things. It's close to the cheese and wine of McLaren Vale.
That's why you go.
Yeah, one-way expressway. It's been fixed.
It's not really an expressway when it's one-way, is it?
What tune are we doing this song to?
The great song Echo Beach.
Of course.
Far away in time.
Oh, righto, let's get to it.
Why don't you ever take your bathers off when you come down here? I mean, after all, it is a nude beach.
I like it already.
In the middle of winter, it's a trifle cool. But I can't help it, I'm a nudist fool. It's a habit. On Maslin Beach, my underpants go down.
Yeah!
I can't take my togs off at Christie's Beach. The nudist camp at Robe is so out of reach. The only thing that helps me pass the time away is knowing I'll be nude at Maslin Beach someday.
One very special beach, Maslin Beach.
Just keep your hands above the water so that no one suspects.
Not far from Moana. Or seafood rise. The sun may be out, but you'll see the moon's rise. I like the expressway, cause it goes both ways. I'm gonna crumb my wiener at Maslin Beach all day. People tour around eating cheese and wine, or go and get boozy at the sea and vines. The only thing that helps you pass the time away. Is
everyone is singing along out there in the suburbs. Why don't we so? Good stuff, mate. We'll do it all again next Thursday.
Absolutely.
And Dave Gleason and the Screaming Jets back with another suburban song next Thursday around about this time.
Ruined Dits for Breakfast on 104.7 Triple M.
All thanks to Adelaide Tools. Hey, just quickly go and check out the DeWalt FlexVolt 54-volt range at Adelaide Tools. Three times the power, and you've got 20% off this week until Friday.
Yes, exactly right. That's the 30th of June tomorrow. Brace for home rates pain, Dits, is the headline I read in the paper this morning. And on the internet, they're saying that interest rates could go up dramatically if the economy continues to grow. They're predicting that it could rise and get better up to perhaps 3% growth, which is starting to be where you want it to be. And that if that's the case, interest rates will rise from historic lows of 1.5% right up to only sort of 3.5%, which doesn't sound like a lot, 3.5%, but when you're a lot lower than that, it's a lot different. So
aren't you all of a sudden doubling what you're paying then if it's from 1.5 to 3?
Yeah, well, exactly right, Dits, if you look at it like that. So we thought we'd better get an expert on to see if this could be reality. And we've got Scotty Pape on the Barefoot Investor. Good morning, Scotty.
Good morning. I tell you what a bloody good headline that was. If you want to capture people's attention, 8 consecutive rate increases in the next 2 years is going to get you a lot of press. And, you know, that's what it's done. And this isn't by some sort of crank. This is John Edwards. He's been on the board of the Reserve Bank for 5 years. Now, he's not on the board now, but this is a guy that actually deliberated on interest rates. So he's got a little bit of clout when he came out and said this. Personally, though, I don't believe it.
Scott, 8 in a row, we couldn't sustain that, surely. No, Australians will not be able to pay that.
No, and I think what he's saying, like he wrote a 2,000-word report on looking at where, you know, the economy's going and things, and the last 45 words he said sort of, you know, hey, we could see much higher interest rates, and that's what the press has run with. So for me, what I think is really interesting about this is everybody thinks now is normal. It's not normal. Interest rates are not supposed to be this normal. This is kind of what John Edwards was, I think, trying to say. Anyone, this is a really interesting thing. Anyone under the age of 45, of which that includes me, has never known a time where interest rates haven't fallen through the floor and property prices haven't gone through the roof. And everyone's kind of thought after 26 years of uninterrupted economic growth, that this is normal, but it's not. We're not living through normal times. And what John Edwards was saying was that interest rates have to go up, and I agree with him.
Scotty,
I think it's going to happen in the next 2 years.
The GFC, I reckon, you know, around 10%, but Dits and I were talking before we come on air about the 80s, and he bought his first house as an 18-year-old and was paying around 18%.
It was the Paul Keating era when we went up to 18.
What is the average would be what, 5 or 6%, or is that too low?
Long term average interest rates are around 7, 7.5.
Okay.
Of course, it depends on what time frame you're looking at. But you boys are right. If we were to see 8 consecutive rate increases, the average mortgage would be over 7%. And it's just that whole thing that the one I worry about a third of people own their own home outright, about a third of people rent, and about a third of people are paying off their homes. And it's the young people now that are getting into the mortgage belt now, taking on huge amounts of debt. They're the ones that are going to be impacted when interest rates go up. And they will. They absolutely will. This is not normal times. I just don't know whether it's going to happen as quickly as they say.
Scotty, those third of the people who have got a loan, some would take advice from mum and dad, some would take advice from a financial planner, some would take advice from their bank manager, which would be probably where it's a bit risky. Now, how many people do you think of those third would be banking on interest rates being at 7% instead of 4% at the moment?
Well, the banks theoretically have to do a stress test on anyone they're lending money to. That's part of the new lending reform. So they have to make sure that there's a buffer there. The problem is, as we all know, the triple M's, marriage, mortgage, and midget. So you get married, you get the mortgage, and then the kids come, two incomes become one, have to feed three. That's when the trouble happens. Now, the thing that very few people talk about, I bang about on all the time, is Australia's got one of the highest rates of household debt in the world.
Mm.
You know, more than the Yanks, more than the Greeks. And that's why I think I'm calling BS on interest rate increases.
Because I know they'll destroy it.
Because if they did that, we'd screw us. Household spending would actually go through the floor because more money would have to be put into your mortgage. But I still sort of agree that we have to brace for higher interest rates. I just don't think it's going to happen in the next 2 years.
Yep.
Absolutely.
Okay. Good on you, Scotty. Thanks so much. Good explanation.
Thanks,
there,
boys.
Scott Pape, the Barefoot Investor.
How'd you go when it was 18%?
You had to. Well, to be honest, a lot of people had to sell and took major losses. Yeah. People put properties on the market and copped a big loss.
So when it was that high, was your property going up a fair bit in value as well?
Not really.
Wasn't it?
You did long-term, they did. Long-term, but you had to wait a long time.
Gee.
Mm.
That is unbelievable.
Yep. And there are things in economics that none of us really understand. Why did it have to go? I mean, everyone blamed Paul Keating, but he just happened to be the Prime Minister, and I'm sure he didn't want to do it. And I'm sure other world trends contributed to it happening as well.
Mm.
You wouldn't just make that decision, would you? Overnight, I'd say, oh, let's put them up to 18%.
That'll be rude and ask what you paid for your first property.
Yeah, it was so 1980. I'm guessing about 1982 or something, around $75,000.
Was that a house or a unit?
It was a townhouse and a brand new, nice townhouse on the water at Tennyson. $75,000. Imagine that.
You rock star.
Oh, hell yeah.
The squash blows bought a bloody townhouse on the beach next to me.
Yeah.
Good work.
Ruined dits for breakfast. 104.7 Triple M.
An alarming story this morning, Roo. An international flight. This is China Southern Airlines.
China Southern Airlines, yes. Which are flying to Adelaide now, a sponsor of the Adelaide Crows.
What happened?
Well, a Asian lady thought this was good luck to throw a coin into the engine.
Yeah. Threw money.
Got that around the wrong way.
It was like a wishing well.
Yeah, thought it was like a wishing well. Obviously, crossing the tarmac, and thought, yep, I've got to do this. This will make a safe flight.
Mm.
And obviously, they weren't too happy with that.
Well, luckily, people saw her do it.
Because
I don't think that would be very good for the engine, throwing coins in there.
Wouldn't have thought. She was only 80, too, so the lady. So,
righto.
Superstitions, Dits, through your career.
You must have had some playing footy.
I wasn't into it. I didn't get into superstitions. Didn't wear a mouth guard, that was all, but that's not a superstition.
Why didn't you wear a mouth guard?
I couldn't breathe on the bloody thing, but I just never wanted to try either because I thought I could breathe better with it, so that might be better without it. Andrew McLeod used to be last out and run around the banner.
Right.
Now, I don't know
how
that...
Did you ever speak to him about that? Why he did it?
No, because I was always up the other end. I didn't even know most of the time, but he sort of did silly things like that. But what did Steve Waugh do?
Steve Waugh had a red handkerchief, and you'd see him get it out of his pocket from time to time and wipe his brow, but that was his little, security blanket, the red handkerchief. And it always made me think, Rue, being quite serious about these things, that I'd never ever wanted anything like that, because I thought, what about the day where you fly to your next match or whatever, and you get out and you go, bloody hell, I didn't pack it, or
didn't pack
someone,
my red hanky,
or I've lost it, or whatever. Then,
it'll test the mind.
It would. And that's why I never, ever wanted that sort of crutch to lean on, really, because I think the day that your favourite jocks aren't there, or because there are people I know that's, I wore those jocks, I made 100, so I wore them every time again, ever since.
Same bag and all that sort of stuff.
Yeah. So, I don't know. I wasn't keen to rely on those sorts of things, really.
You just relied on total ability and ruthless aggression and talent and fitness and
none of the
mental
above.
Intimidation.
None of the above.
Physical intimidation.
Maybe a bit of that.
A little bit of that. Give us a call right now. We've got tickets to Port v Richmond on Saturday night. This will be an unbelievable game. Battle for top four. Adelaide Oval. Dustin Martin, Robbie Gray. It'll be a huge contest. Give us a call on Silly Superstitions.
104.7 Triple M.
Silly Superstitions, Roo.
Yeah, we've got tickets to Port v Richmond at Adelaide Oval this Saturday night to give away for
our best
caller.
Stevie Wonder sang a song about this, I think, didn't he?
Superstitious. Let's go to Parra Hills. G'day, Nev.
G'day, boys. How you go?
Are you superstitious, Nev?
No, well, I'm not sure, boys. I mean, my son, if I can say his name, Dylan.
Yep.
He raced a car for about 13 years and he got third in a state title.
Oh, well done.
I think when he was about 9 or 10, and the sprocket, the drive sprocket on the engine during the race was slipping, so he was losing his drive.
Yep.
But it actually tightened itself up during the race, in which I don't know how it did it, and he actually got third in the state, so I've kept that sprocket in the toolbox for about 12 years.
Yeah. Well done.
Yeah.
Did he ever get back on the podium?
Rui got, we travelled around Australia for about 12 years. He got Australia 2 and Australia 3.
Wow.
Even after his motor car accident, Rui, when they said he'd never walk again, he got, he had three race meetings. He got on the podium 3 times, Rui.
Oh, so brilliant stuff.
You keep that sprocket in the toolbox.
You keep going with that sprocket, Nev. Well done. Good story. Touching story. Hey, let's go to Vanessa at Port Nalunga. How are you, Vanessa?
Good, how are you?
Good, thank you. What's your superstition?
Well, I thought about, I've actually got two. The first one is at work, girls have found that whenever we wear lipstick, no one wants to talk to us and we just do not make any money.
if you don't wear lipstick.
Yeah, whenever we wear lipstick, we do not. No one wants to have a bar of us.
You're kidding. What sort of shop do you work in?
A fashion shop.
You've got to have lipstick on, surely.
No, it is weird. I don't know. Women are weird. They don't want to talk to you.
Intimidated, are they?
I don't know. But the other thing is, like, you know, she's quite young, and there was, like, a little thing going around that you got to lift your feet up when you go over train tracks or you get pregnant. And I'm 33 now, and I still bloody lift my feet over the train tracks.
Come on,
even when my husband's in the car, like, quick, lift your feet.
Yeah. So, if you sit on the same chair that Rue sat on, you get pregnant too.
Yeah, exactly.
That tends to happen.
Yeah. Yeah, especially for Rue.
Good on you, Vanessa.
Let's go to Morfordvale. G'day, Jeremy.
Hey, guys. How you going?
Good. You superstitious?
No, not me, but I've got a friend of mine, and similar to the last caller, lifts his feet over railway lines.
Yeah. Mm.
But he also touches the roof going through amber lights.
Touches the roof?
What? In your car?
Yeah, in the car, yeah.
I've never heard of that.
I haven't heard of that one.
Neither have I until I met my friend.
Righto. All right.
Keep me out of my hands on the wheel.
There's a lot of the tennis players, and you'll see this at Wimbledon in the next 2 weeks. I can think of Sharapova that's won, will never step on a white line. Now, when they're running in a rally, I suppose they can't help it. They have to. But in between points, you'll see them pull up short with a couple of steps so that they step over the lines.
Wow. Let's go to Hope Valley. G'day, Josh.
Hey, boys. How's it going?
What's your superstition, mate?
Before every footy game, I eat half a Mars bar, and then at halftime, I polish off the other half.
Right.
So you did it one day, and you kicked 8, did you? Or?
Yeah, something like that. Even boys are running out too.
Good work. Well, that's good. There could be worse things to do. They can't do too much damage, Dits.
Don't think so. A little sugar hit before you run out.
Mars a day keeps you, what is it, work, rest and play.
There you go.
Good stuff.
Righto, Roo, who are you going to send off to the footy?
Oh, a bit of lipstick, Dits. What do you think?
I knew you'd go with Vanessa.
Oh, if I didn't,
you're
you
a soft touch.
Right on, Vanessa. You can go to the footy tonight, Saturday night.
Ruined Dits for breakfast. 104.7. Triple M.
7:58, ruined it for breakfast thanks to Adelaide Tools. Now, the beautiful, delightful Sarah Ricciuto rang our program yesterday.
Mm, she did.
And suggested that, Roo, you need to learn a little bit about childbirth. You just think it's plain sailing.
Well, from what I've seen, it's pretty plain. Just, you know, they just slip out and you catch it and
you're digging a hole
off
here.
You go.
You are digging a big hole here. Anyway, so Sarah had seen online there's a machine out, and I think it's come from overseas, where...
Mm.
They plug men up
come
to it.
Come from Bali.
And they plug men up to it, and you can experience the absolute labour pains that women go through.
I wasn't looking forward to it. I was actually quite nervous.
Our team from Physio Extra, the Chigwiddens and all of their outlets around Adelaide, good people at Physio Extra.
Very good people.
They've got one of these machines because it actually promotes muscle stimulation as well. It's not just about hurting men. It's actually a proper machine.
I thought I was going to get electrocuted.
So anyway, they came in yesterday, and this is how it went.
Well, here we are in the Triple M maternity ward. Little Mark Ricciuto is ready to give birth for the first time. Roo's laying on the bed. How's it all going there, Roo? You look a bit nervy.
No, I'm a bit nervy. I haven't had a kid before.
Most women that go through childbirth, they normally about this time they do a poo on the bed and they chuck. And we've got any of that coming?
Well, I've done that plenty of times before, right. So I'm half a chance today.
All right, you're looking intact anyway. Andrew Hopkins is our physio from Physio Extra. Andrew, welcome. Tell us about this machine.
Thanks for having me. So basically we're using a TENS machine today. It has two different settings. So normally we'd use it for pain relief, but we're going to use it to inflict a bit of pain today and simulate labour. So basically it's going to provide a small little electrical current. We're going to turn that up enough that that Roo's going to get a nice little contraction through his abs and get that nice feeling of labour. We used it on one of our physios last week and he didn't survive too well. But we're doing this just a bit of fun. And it's not something that you'd do at home. And we'll see how we go.
Okay, all right. So
so what we're going to do, we'll just turn it up a little bit. So Roo should feel his abs just to start to switch on a little bit.
I've started. Right. Have a wet towel, please.
Am I meant to time these contractions or what? No?
Can you just tickle my back, please? Have a drink, please.
Right, me to hold your hand. Now, am I meant to be at this end or the business end? What am I supposed to do? What would you prefer?
Stay up this end.
Please. Okay, darling. Now, Roo, how strong is it at the moment?
No, I can feel it. It's just started.
Righto. So what number are we on?
So we're on number 2 at the moment.
Oh, yeah. 2. Come on. Let's ramp it up. What would you go do next?
Yeah. Now, we're up to number 3 now.
Yeah. When do I... it's starting to get a bit harder. Deep breath, is that what I meant to do?
Okay, keep breathing, breathe through it. Okay, we're going to turn that up a little bit more.
Let's go.
So we're up to number 4.
Yep. Yeah. It's making my face go a bit red.
All right, we're ready for the money one.
Yeah.
So we're going to give you a nice big contraction.
Yep, I'm struck.
So up to number 6 now.
That's 6, yeah.
Okay, well, I'll hold you there for a bit.
Deep
breathing. Keep breathing. You're doing quite well.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Our physio lasted at number 4 and he was out.
4, he was out. Cranker.
Okay, here we go.
Oh, gosh. Is this all childbirth or... Put
right,
it on.
Now, here we go.
Yep, here we go.
It's pretty tight, but I can handle it.
Okay.
Do you want me to do some push-ups?
Jeez, tough. Unaffected Roo.
Is that 10?
That was 10. Let's go again.
Here it comes.
Alrighty, that's...
So he's pretty strong then?
He's pretty strong, he's doing well. Yeah, I think he's beaten the Labor pain.
Whoa. There you go, see, women, really, oh, Roo.
Nothing in it.
Eh? Well, what have they been on about all these years?
They've been milking it for years.
Haven't they just?
Yeah.
Right, we've exposed all you women out there.
Yep.
That's what we've done, Roo. Well done. Alright, well done to the team from Physio Extra. Thanks for coming in. Thank you.
Thank you.
Now stop complaining about it. Gee whiz, Mel, you're due to give birth in a few months' time. Don't come in here whinging about how sore you are.
That
and how
is not a true representation of what we go through.
Well, the physio, Mr. Physio Extra, said that he said it was true, didn't he?
Speaking of which, Mr. Physio Extra is on the line
now.
We've got an update here. Andrew Hopkins, our physio. Good morning, Andrew. What can you tell us?
G'day, Jitch. How are we going?
Hey, good, thanks.
So I think as much as Roo was toughing that one out, we certainly have looked into it, and studies have shown that the depth of tissue that current has to penetrate through definitely has an effect on the strength. So I think in this case, Roo's bit of extra winter padding certainly helped him out.
Oh no, Andrew!
So they weren't made these machines to penetrate a spare tire.
Definitely not.
No. So that's what happened. You say the fat actually cushioned the blow. Is that what we're saying?
Well, I think it definitely helped him out, yes.
Okay. Righto. Lucky women don't eat for 2 or 3 before they're pregnant.
All right. Andrew, thanks for your help, mate.
Thanks,
well done,
Andrew.
Yesterday.
Good on
and
you,
Roo's
mate.
Now, thanks, Roo's, guys. Roo's now a father again. Now, if you want to see this experiment, the video is up on the Triple M Facebook page right now. Now, you did well, Roo, because you were very, very
what are we
tough and
call
strong.
It?
Call what? The baby?
Yeah. Chris.
yeah. I don't know. That's a good point. We need to name
we
it,
need
don't
to
we?
Think about
All
it.
All right, we'll come back with that.
Ruin Dits for Breakfast. The hard-hitting topics. The big issues.
Well, not really.
Let's ask the angels.
50% off Sinzi Silver Rings. Karens of Hyde Park. 183 King William Road.
Indeed. Good morning, angels.
Good morning.
Oh, wow.
Oh, come on, you
sorry,
girls.
What happened?
Batesy.
Sorry, I was
last
so bad.
Last week on your last week.
You started again. Started
the rookie.
Again.
Good morning,
that
angels.
Was the only one.
Good morning, Ruined Dits.
Oh, it's a rant.
No, they're terrible. Getting ahead of themselves.
It's a rabble. It's a rabble.
They might need a bit of a...
Bit of discipline needed.
I was the only one that was on
you're
tune.
Too yes, comfortable. Right. You've been here 3 times, now you're just comfortable, aren't you?
I was trying
you?
To work out your handwriting.
Don't worry, Catherine, it's good to have
right,
you back.
Alice the Wag. Catherine's back from the honeymoon.
I'm back from the honeymoon.
She's the richest man
Catherine?
In Australia.
Been
Where did you go?
Not the richest man. Went to Croatia, France, Amsterdam and London.
Right.
What did you do in Croatia?
Did you go on
a boat?
We're on a boat. going island hopping, which was quite nice.
Island shopping, wasn't it?
Hopping. Oh. No shopping. No shops there.
Island. Which one did you buy?
There's no shops there.
Just came back with Santorini.
I reckon that's one of the best places that's in the world, don't they?
Croatian. Yeah, it was really pretty, actually. It was really pretty. It's kind of, you know, like Amalfi, but untouched. Very rugged still and beautiful islands.
And Batesy, have you given Peter a rest yet? This is Peter, who's back, the war hero from Iraq. Poor bloke's come back wounded. And
now he's worse.
Yeah, he's really wounded.
Yeah, he's on the way up.
Is
it's
he?
All good. Yeah. Pun intended.
He's on life support.
Pun intended.
Right, Alice the Wag. Let's get to our
topics. How are you, Batesy? Anyway, you all right?
Yeah, I'm good.
She was a bit bruised last week as well. Anyway, she'd been in the trenches herself. Anyway, let's get to our first topic.
Oh my God.
Let's get to our first topic. Hey, the pregnancy photos. You see Serena Williams in the paper today, and we've seen Demi Moore do it over the years, and we've seen a lot of the celebrities do it. Megan Gale. Yeah. No, are these from the girl's point of view, Alice the Wag, are these photos sexy, or do you like seeing these?
I think it's cool to capture that because it's like the only time in your life you will look like that. But I probably wouldn't put it up in my house. And to be honest, I look like that if I eat a pizza. So I could probably just do it anytime.
Batesy?
I think it's really cool. And I think it's such a big moment for a woman. So I'm all about it. And Serena looked amazing.
Right. So happy to share those sorts of photos.
Share, maybe not. I wouldn't look like that. I can guarantee it. But I think if you do look like that, you should totally do it.
Okay.
It's also the only time in my life where I'll have big boobs, so I should take advantage of it. Totally
make
true.
The most of it work.
All right. Catherine?
I think it's fantastic. I had photos, not professional ones, and I didn't display them, but I did photos when I was pregnant because I think it's the only time that
for your
you...
own keepsake sort of thing.
Yeah. And my girlfriend had an actual mold, which is quite popular too.
A mold?
A mold made of her, well, the front part.
Really?
And then she's got it. It looks really cool. So it's
what do you do
like
with
a,
that?
Put it in a... you mount it and put it in a frame and put it up in your house.
No, not mount it like that.
Did it come up all right? Does it come up all right?
So it's a furniture piece in the house.
It's a furniture piece in the house, and it looks really cool.
No, you're not serious.
Absolutely, absolutely.
You could lay on
cool.
it. Right. Almost, couldn't
no,
you?
No, because it's like paper mache, not paper mache, but, you know, it's like a
mould of your tummy.
Dits might want to unframe it and hug it or
gotta
something.
Be, it's been choking. Right, Michael from Brighton has written us a letter. I've had another. I'm getting letters every week now, right?
Hi, Michael.
Michael from Brighton.
Why
are blokes
writing your letters?
Yeah, because they relate to you and I.
Right.
Right. They're on our side. They want advice from the angels. Usual.
What's
first
Michael
paragraph.
Written?
Dits, love you on the radio every morning on Triple M. Second paragraph is...
Michael Dittmer.
Yeah. And I'll paraphrase because these letters are quite lengthy and I'll get to the point. He's saying basically, what is the obsession with girls that need to catch up with their exes? What he's saying is his wife...
No, hang on.
No, his wife...
This is not from Michael.
No, it is.
You've brought this up
No, this is a different
times.
One. This is different. This is deeper. His wife, who had her childhood sweetheart, they went out for 6 years, wants to have dinner. They want to catch up as couples.
Is he remarried?
And have, yes. No, this is his current wife. And she is saying, I want to have dinner with my ex-boyfriend and his new wife.
Oh.
And it's the worst. It'd be the last thing I'd want to do. Catch up with them and hear about their. Oh yeah, when you used to take my wife out and rara, that'd be fantastic. Mm. Mate. Yeah,
we used to do it.
Alice the Wag.
I caught up with my ex boyfriend when I first started dating Joel, purely just to let him know that
I was not available.
I'm better than you, and this is how good my life is. So I think the only reason they do it is just to gloat about I'm so much better without you.
But to sit through a whole dinner and chat about old times and
it's a bit weird. I think that's weird.
But there are some girls that are into this all the time. They have to do it.
Yeah, but just to show how good their life is now, I reckon.
You reckon?
Just to gloat, yeah.
Batesy?
No, I completely disagree. So I, Big, as you've mentioned quite a few times,
your first boyfriend.
Was my high school sweetheart. Yeah. And we keep in touch. Like, we're really good friends. We have a good circle of friends that we all still Facebook and we're all over the world. So Facebook and, you know, WhatsApp. And I talk to him all the time. I think that's totally normal.
How would you
but
feel
would
if
you
your
ask
current
Peter,
man
yeah.
Wanted to catch up with his ex-girlfriend? How would you feel about
for dinner.
It? Oh, seriously.
For dinner.
A long
Let's
night out, have dinner.
But Michael's saying that his wife wants to catch up with her high school sweetheart and his wife as well. So it's a double date. Mm. So there's nothing in that.
Yeah, but how boring.
But
what,
so
if
weird.
It, what if they, what
have it, they kept in? See,
yeah, but how's the ones that dated? How do they feel? So there's two that haven't been together and the others have. Like it must
I
be a bit.
I think high
like,
school sweethearts are a bit different to exes when you're adults and they're serious. Like in high school when you're 17, that's not something you think about when you're 30. So I think if it's a high school sweetheart, I think it's all right.
Yeah, but what if it's your last, the other person you went out with for 5 or 6 years?
Yeah, your last.
So
ex,
you had a bit of a deep.
Different.
Yeah.
Did and then you
start what deep relationship? And then you start talking, and then you start talking about, you know, your parents and the, you know, that's a bit uncomfortable.
Awkward, I reckon.
I agree. I agree. Don't go there.
There you go, Michael. They're all saying that.
No,
no,
don't do it, mate.
Not
allowed.
Not worth it.
But thanks for writing in, Michael.
Good on you, Michael. And keep the letters coming in.
Yes, if you want to write to Chris Dittmer, send it to Triple.
I've got to go through my mailbag and pick out the best ones.
Ditzer's mailbag.
Thanks, Angels.
Thanks.
Ruined Dits for Breakfast. 104.7 Triple M.
Rue, 2 days ago, we all received a group email here at work, which was quite serious. It said another large
Don't
and
play
serious
up at the Christmas show again this
year. That was that usual one, yeah. And then after I'd read that one, I got to this one. Another large and serious ransomware infection across many computer networks around the world. What are we doing about it here? Well, immediately, if there's a threat to Southern Cross Austereo systems or computers, please report it. As a precautionary step, we're applying the latest patches and security updates to increase your level of protection, and on it went. And we've heard in the last day or two that some large corporations around the world have in fact been shut down.
Yeah, Russia's biggest oil company, for instance. There's been law firms and stuff like that. But in Australia, Cadbury down at in Tasmania, they've attacked their bloody chocolate.
That one really concerned me.
You know, they're just going to really get us. This is a mental
that
sort of attack.
That affects me greatly.
This
you start messing with Cadbury's, you're messing with my life, pal.
Yeah, exactly right.
Yeah.
There'll be a lot of men and women out there very frustrated with ransomware at the moment.
Righto. What does this all mean? Let's go to our technical expert, and he really is. Let's go to Trevor Long. G'day, Trevor.
Morning, Ruined Dits. I'll tell you what it means. Stock up on Cadbury. That's what I did last night.
I have.
Bunker down with heaps of blocks of chocolate.
I mean, do you remember a couple of months ago there was a virus, a ransomware attack that hit the UK and a few other places?
Mm-hmm.
This is very similar. If your computer hasn't been updated with the latest security updates, you know, the ones that Windows say, hey, we've got an update, and you say, no, don't worry about it. Stop saying don't worry about it, because the reason they send those updates is because they fix problems that can be exploited by cyber criminals.
Is this the one where, you know, when I go to turn my computer off, or sometimes you turn it on and they say, oh, I've got 13 updates coming. Is it those, you know, those, and they're very annoying and it takes
ones.
A long time. So you've got to do it.
Which is why your IT department sends out an email saying, you know, we're going to do this, because people go, I just want to turn my computer on, or I just want, just put up with it. Go and get another coffee or something.
Okay.
Because if you don't have them installed, then the cybercrims can attack you. And look, they're not physically attacking Cadbury. Cadbury is just collateral damage in a, you know, general cyber war, because they're trying to get money out of organizations. They lock down your computer. It's a completely useless device to you, and they demand money from you. Now, Cadbury and places like that, I would assume, have good IT systems where they would just restore a backup from the past. But mum and dad, you know, small businesses, probably haven't been doing that. And they're the ones that are going, oh, maybe we should just give them the $300. And I'll give you a tip. You give them the $300, they won't give you your files back. They'll just put you on a list of people who are suckers to give them more money.
Exactly, yeah. Oh, this person is happy to negotiate with us. What other things should people do just to make sure they get themselves in the clear?
Look, there's three simple things. Keep your devices up to date. And this means iPhones, Android, everything. When you get those software updates, always do them. Secondly, internet security software. You know, you don't leave home without car insurance. Don't leave your computer on without internet security software. It will detect most of these things and actually prevent you from getting infected. And thirdly, just be really cautious about what you click online. So when you get an email from Australia Post saying we missed you and we didn't deliver a parcel, it's not them. They struggle to knock on your door. They're not going to send you emails. So don't click the link. Same with banks and things and, you know, Australian Federal Police. These are all scams trying to get you to click a link that will infect your computer or steal your identity, one of the two things.
And you know, Trevor, when you hear these things, you say, oh, I don't know anyone this has ever happened to, or it hasn't happened to me. It actually happened to my father-in-law. Now, he got rung at home phone, and they got him to sit at his computer, and they absolutely sucked him in. They're being very nice to him, very pleasant.
Very helpful. They take control of your computer, so you think, oh, they are legit, and they are helping me out.
And then they stitched him up badly. I don't know the end story, but he got done.
Can we have a $250 annual subscription?
Yeah.
And they may never charge you again, but they've got you $250, and they've done nothing to your computer, or they've potentially actually infected your computer with something else.
Yeah.
So, you know, that's the other one. Phone scams are a cracker, because we trust the phone, you know.
Yeah.
Internet scams, we're all wary of, but don't believe that Microsoft or people like that are calling you to tell you you've got a problem with your computer.
Mm.
They don't do that.
No. Good on you, Trevor. Interesting story.
No worries,
and
guys.
It's affecting people far bigger than us, Rue. Mm-hmm. So these people, they're seriously clever.
Well, Russia's biggest biggest oil company. They don't get much bigger than that, do they?
Amazing stuff.
Don't miss a minute of Ruined Dits for Breakfast on the Catch Up podcast. For Adelaide Tools, with 5 locations, Paraka, Lonsdale, St Mary's, Gawler and Mile End. Or go online at adelaidetools.com.au.